The National Football League has concluded that it's more probable than not that the New England Patriots deliberately deflated its footballs in the AFC Championship game last fall, and that quarterback Tom Brady was probably aware of it.
Yes, we're talking about Deflategate. The NFL released its official report just this afternoon, and that's where we'll begin our conversation with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, who joins us every Wednesday to talk sports. Hi there, Bill.
Hello, Magna.
Okay, so the NFL's conclusion comes from Ted Wells, an attorney who led the investigation. What did he find about those deflated footballs?
Daddy, what have you been doing for the last few months?
Well, son, I've been trying to figure out whether the Patriots deflated the football. We finally come to the conclusion that they probably did.
How would you feel if you were the kid who heard your dad say that?
Proud?
I guess he's seeking out
the truth about miscreants in the NFL?
Does anybody else feel like this is a Monty Python skit? it's just ridiculous.
Okay. So should I ask you what you think the reaction from the Pats is or should be?
Well, it's marvelously convoluted. Robert Kraft's statement is just a masterpiece of obfuscation. In which he says, no, we didn't, but I guess they said we did, so we'll have to take the consequences almost as if we did, though we didn't. Something like that.
Okay. Now, say in some world this was, a real pressing story in your mind, Bill. What kind of discipline do you think the Pats would deserve?
Oh, that's the simple part. They should make the Patriots play the first half of every game next season with a basketball. Because that's really inflated, if you put enough air in a football, it would kind of assume a circular...
Yeah. Or a croquet ball, for that matter.
All right. Well, let's move on from cheating to losing, shall we? To the Boston Red Sox. In fact, who won. They put the brakes on their losing streak last night. They beat the Tampa Rays 2-1, thanks to a pair of home runs from center fielder Mookie Betts.
And some pitching.
Mm. Yeah, some good pitching. Now, despite the win, the Sox have lost 9 of their last 12. And, Bill, here's the thing. The last time we talked, it was about 10 days ago before I went away. I took a break, right? And when I left, the Red Sox were on top of the American League East. Now they're cellar dwellers. Can I not leave you guys alone for any time at all?
It's another Monty Python skit, because the operating principle here is when Anthony leaves town, the Red Sox lose. And so people are clutching at his lapels and the cuffs of his trousers. Don't go!
We're going to tie him to the chair.
All right. Well, they won last night. But let's remember some better times. The great Red Sox pitcher Pedro Martinez is out with a new book, Pedro. And yesterday he spoke to NPR's Robert Siegel about the great 2004 team that won the World Series after those 86 long years. So let's listen to a bit of that about what Pedro recalls of that great 2004 team.
Were you friends with your teammates?
Well, I have never been in another team where the chemistry was as good as that one. We helped each other so much. We complimented each other. We were together in everything. Every dinner. Forget about the people outside. Forget about the groupies and everybody chasing us. We were all together. The whole team. Pitchers. Yeah. Position players. Catchers. Everybody.
Because the Red Sox had a reputation as a team of, for years, it was always said of the Red Sox, they didn't have a sense of cohesion. That wasn't the case in the championship.
This is probably the most unique group of guys I've ever played with, and the most fun I've ever had in a team with a group of guys. And Manny was right on top of it. Kevin Millar, David, Pokey Reese, all those guys, so funny. I mean, it was unbelievable. We were a laughing group. We led the league in hugs, handshakes, and bad hair. We were really looking like idiots, but we could play.
So, Bill, they led the league in hugs. I love that.
And bad hair.
But seriously, that 2004 team has to go down as one of the most fun to watch.
Absolutely right. They were great fun to watch. They looked from the outside as if they never took themselves too seriously. And of how many people can we say that in or out of baseball?
Mm. Well, we hope to have Pedro Martinez on the show soon talking about that.
It'd be great.
I kind of feel bad that we're going to go from that awesome tape of Pedro Martinez to talking about boxing, but let's do it anyway, because obviously there was a lot of hype around the fight between welterweight boxers Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. And Mayweather won. He apparently had an injured shoulder, or I should say Pacquiao apparently had an injured shoulder. But what gets me is that these two boxers, for just this one fight, will end up splitting more than $300 million. And Mayweather's going to get $200 million of that bill, making him the highest paid athlete in sports.
Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable with the idea that you make all that money for one night's work, because it's not easy to train as a professional boxer. It's certainly not easy to endure the kind of punishment mm-hmm. that these guys have endured over the years. And we've all heard stories about how an awful lot of professional boxers end up with brain damage and CTE and everything else at the end of their lives, and often well before the end of their lives. Even so, of course, the amount of money we're talking about is ridiculous. My favorite single statistic from this fight was that it cost you $130 to go and see the weigh-in. That was to watch two guys step on scales.
Wow.
So it was incredibly hyped. It was, by all accounts, a very disappointing spectacle. And I just don't think there's any limit to the way that boxing fans will buy the idea that this one really is the fight of the century.
Mm. Forbes called it the hype of the century.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, correctly so.
Well, that's Bill Littlefield. He's host of NPR's Only a Game, which you can hear every Saturday morning at 7, and again at 7 in the evening right here on WBUR. He joins us every Wednesday to talk sports. Bill, thanks so much.
Thank you, Anthony.
Well, when we come back, the new chair of the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce talks to us about his vision of the future of doing business in Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.